Today's daf is neither chavav. We left off actually chav hamad beis. Let's pick up from the two dots. It's two dots chav hamad beis. It's about 20 lines up from the bottom of the page. Not even 8 lines up from the bottom of the page. Hamapela sandal. Tana rabbanan. Sandal deim ladag. We said in the Mishnah that if the isha is mapel a sandal, so it's considered a leida, and she's got to keep the you may tuma, and then you may tara l'chumra of an isha and of a male and of a female. So she keeps 2 weeks of tuma, and then only 26 days of tara. We spoke out the cheshbon, right? Because she can't get the chumras of both. Tana rabbanan. Sandal deim ladag. She on the sandal resembles the dag of the sea. It resembles a certain type of fish that was called a sandal. That's where it comes from. So essentially, has some features, but not too much. It's a sandal again when a woman is pregnant with two fetuses and one kind of crushes the other. So it comes as a sandal. So the Mishnah says it's considered a leida for Tumas Leida. And I was saying, what does it look like? It looks like the fish in the yam is called sandal, hence the name. It initially was a vlad, but it got crushed in the womb by the pressure of the other twin. Reb Shimon Gamliel, sandal deim l'lashon shel shor hagadol. Reb Shimon Gamliel says sandal is similar to the tongue of a large axe, which really means it's smooth. Rashi calls it tuches, part of tuches. It's very smooth. Rashi even asks, but we just said a few while back when a woman ejects from her body something that's smooth with no form at all. What's the lacha? She's not tamei tumas leida. And yet Reb Shimon Gamliel is teaching the case of sandal means smooth like the tongue of an axe, which is smooth. And therefore, it shouldn't have been tumas leida. But the Mishnah clearly says sandal is tumas leida. Answers Rashi, huge difference. That when you have just one embryo coming out of the mother's stomach and it's smooth, we say that has no status. Therefore, that will not have tumas leida. However, over here, we know the story. It's coming with the twin, and the twin is what crushed it. So just like the twin is viable, and it is going to be a real vlad. So to the sandal also is considered a real leida because it would have been viable if not for the crushing of its partner. But therefore, even though it's smooth, it will have a din of tumas leida. Mishum Rabbi Seinu, Hiyidu, and names are Rabbanim. Rabbi Seinu, they made sandal tzarech shus upanim, hasef shus upanim, which seems to be even more than the first two shitas. The first shita was similar to this fish. Second shita, of course, was that it's smooth. This third shita seems to be similar to the first, that it needs some tzura, but maybe even more in that it needs tzuras hapanim. It needs like a tzura of a face. Amar v'demar Shmuel, halacha sandal tzarech shus upanim. Halacha is like the Rabbi Seinu, that you need tzuras upanim to have a din of tumas leida, to have a din of a sandal. Amar v'atav, Amar v'yosef, Amar v'yitzchak. Sandal tzarech shus upanim. Again, same sack that sandal needs to be shus upanim. But look what he sticks in. Afilu me'achayrev. Even if it's to the rear, what's the pshat in this? Not the pshat necessarily that the features are actually in the back of this sandal's head, but rather mashla adam shesatar as chaverev v'chus upanim achayrev. If Reuven smacks his friend, it's often that when Reuven smacks his friend's face will spin around like facing the wrong side. So here also means it could be crooked, the features don't have to be perfect, and that's also ganuk to be features to make it a vlad for status of tumas leida. But it doesn't mean necessarily for us to speak out that it's mamish on the opposite side of the head. Maybe that would be more problematic. Okay, story time. In the days of Rabbi Yanai, bikshu latar as a sandal, shein latur panim. They wanted to be matar a sandal. That's an embryo that was born, that came out of the Isha, as a sandal, that had no tzuras upon it. They want to be matar it. Amalem Rabbi Yanai, tiar tumas avodis. Rabbi Yanai said, what are you doing? You're being matar avodis. This is a vlad. This is a real vlad. A real uber. In our mission, we said sandal is of a leida. And you're being matar it. Says the Gemara, what do you mean? What was Rabbi Yanai's taina? Vatanya mishim Rabbi Seinu yidu, sandal tzuras upon him. We said, in the name of Rabbi Seinu, they testified that sandal needs tzuras upon him. So if he's just upon him, then the people over here were properly saying it does not have a din of a leida. And that's how Rudim Mishmuel Paskin, and that's what we quote from Adar Yitzif Amar Bitzlik, like the Rabbi Seinu, that it needs to upon him. So what was Rabbi Yanai's issue? Amar Bibi Barabai Amar Yechanan, Me'idus Hashem Nechunya Nishis Mishazu. Rabbi Yechanan taught, this Heidu Rabbi Seinu, which sounds like plural, a plural shita, is actually the shita ziyachid of Rabbi Nechunya. Rabbi Nechunya is the one that says he needs to have source upon him. So granted, he did have other amram paskin that way, but Lamaisa was a das yachid. And Rabbi Yanai held, you don't paskin this way. Amr Rabbi Zira, so, and that was Rabbi Yanai signing to the people. Amr Rabbi Zira said, I was there in the base medrash when Rabbi Yechanan taught this. Zacha but Ravivi Bishmaitir. People Zacha in his teaching, meaning, Dana Vuavi Asimna Kameh Dereb. You may not want to sit directly, yeah, you may want to sit a little off the side because I'm a little under the weather. Rabbi Yanai, Dana Vu, I, together with Rav Bivi, were sitting, Yasvina Kameh, to Rabbi Yechanan Kiyamala Shmaita. I was singing for Rabbi Yechanan when he was singing over the Shmaita, this memra, that Rabbi Nechunya was the author of this, not the Rabbi Seinu in general. He came to reveal in the Beis Medrash, Rabbi Yechon's teaching, that it was Dafka, it was Nechunya, not the Rabbi Zenu, which is the answer to the question as to why Rabbi Yana wasn't passing like the Rabbi Zenu, because it was not Rabbi Zenu, it's Nas Yachid. And now, for Leila Voed in the Beis Medrash, it's going to be known as Rav Bibi Bar Abaya, saying the name Rabbi Yechon, that it's Rabbi Zenu is not plural Rabbi Zenu, it's from Nechunya, but the point is, it's going to be remembered in his name. He was Zeicha to have his name attached to this member forever. Let me ask you a sandal. Let me ask a basic question. We're saying that our understanding, what creates a sandal is the fact that the woman was pregnant with another Vlad in her stomach, and the Vlad in the stomach crushed this other embryo and caused it to be a sandal. So if that's the case, what are we discussing? We're discussing Tumas Leida. If there's twins here, you know what's going to happen? There's another twin that's going to come out of her. If the twin comes out of her, she's tummy anyway. So what's the difference? Lamas Kira Sandal. In fact, Gemara, why are you mentioning Sandal? Halei Ein Sandal, Sheinim Avlad. By definition, Sandal occurs because there's another Vlad with it. New. So the issue is tummy Tumas Leida on account of the other Vlad. What's the issue? What's the Nafmina? You're making an assumption that it's much later. That's the ultimate, the Mara's answer is going to be separate timings. Very good. We'll see. Either side, you're right, but the Mara's going to ask, that's not so pashut. It's not so pashut that it's born separately. Typically, twins are not born separately.
If this is something that comes out that we're not even sure that it's a...
We're saying it's sandals of Vav. Who's saying that? Who's not sure? You're not sure?
Does it have a tzuras pine?
Right.
It must be like it's really early in this stage.
Oh, whoa. You just made, not so pashut. That you made a jump. You made a jump there. Right. Right.
What about the bottom?
That's Gemara's answer, Hirsch. Very good. Idis yad in a keva b'hadei hachanami. Says the Gemara, if the viable child that was born together was in a keva, so that, you're right, it covers all your bases, because the keva gets 14 days of tumah, and the keva gets 66 days of tara. So whatever the sandal is encompassed by the Nekev. And again, Shmuel, to your question, the assumption over here is that they're being born at the same time. That's actually my assumption. The Gemara will say your answer shortly. But the assumption is they're being born at the same time. So it's covered completely by the Keva. Over here the case is where it was born together with the Zachar. This sandal came out with the Zachar. So a Zachar, what's the status? Of course, it's coming for 7 days, and it only has 33 days of Tara. This sandal is something Zachar from the Keva. So therefore, you have to give it the chumras of both, which means you have to give it 14 days of tumah. So therefore, it's a very big relevance. If you give it a din aleda, you have to add 7 days of tumah of the nekeva. You're not going to give it 66 days of tara, because the chumra you have to assume maybe a vlad, a zachar. But you have to give it... I'm sorry?
Do you have a zachar?
No, I understand. But you're not going to gain the 66 days of tara. Because it's a chumra, right? Because masaf, you're not going to give it, right? But the point is...
One second. Let's say you have twins. Regular twins, a boy and a girl. How many days of
Tara? 14 days of Tumah and 66 days of Tara.
You do have 66 days of Tara?
Of course. From the Nekeva. The fact that there's a Zachar with it doesn't take away your 66 days of Tara.
Okay.
Yeah, so that's the answer. So, okay, but it doesn't. So that's the what we're saying. If there's an if it comes together with a Zachar, that's where you chop it off Gina. Now the Gemara, for Pashtas really could have stopped here. Really, this is sufficient for the answer, but the Gemara adds... And we actually weren't so sure why so much this morning, Rabbi Kenner. Why? The Gemara needs to add this, but the Gemara adds a little bit more flavor. But the answer is right there. That nafkamina of whether you have a sandal or not is if it's born together with the zachar. That's the main nafkamina. I don't know if it's in the cave, it's the tagma nafkamina. That's answer number one. But Ma'alitim, now we add some color to it. We have a klal as follows. Big famous klal that comes up later in the Parshas and Bereishis over here. In Sefer Bereishis, by Yaakov and his children. If the woman is mazras, we've discussed this, if you remember earlier in this perspective, there's a concept of zera by Nisha, fine, let's just take it for granted now. If Isha is mazriyat chila, whatever that may mean, so the child can be born as a zachar. If the man is mazriyat chila, the child born is an akeva. So you'd say midaha zachar, hanami zachar. From the fact that the one that was viable, the one that lived, was a zachar, the sandal was also a zachar. Maybe you can make that assumption, and therefore you can just keep 7 days of tumah, not 14, 33 days of tara, and that's it. Kamashma, we don't say that. Why? Because you could say, maybe they both must be vazachas. Hai zachar, vayin keva. This one was, and therefore one turned out to be a zachar, one turned out to be a keva, because the husband and wife were both masriya at the same time. Ask the Emes Yaakov, which I'm sure is bothering you, Amiel, that Maisim b'chol yayim. There's twins born every day. Is that what you're going to ask? Of course. There's twins born every day, boy and girl. So we're going to make this assumption that if the one that we know is a boy, other one must be a boy. What do you mean? Or one you know is a girl, other one must be a girl. What type of assumption is that? We see every day that boys and girls being born. A bomb question. Emes Yaakov discusses it. But this morning, again, when I was looking at the cater after the morning shiur, we came up with a Pasha Teres of the Kasha.
It's got to be a Pasha Teres.
We came with Parshat Teretz. I was able to use the benefits of Google. I googled what is the percentage of twins that are born same gender and twins that are born different gender. So the answer was as follows, that you have two types of twins. You have identical twins, and they have twins that are non-identical. Identical twins are always the same gender, right?
So it's the ratio.
So identical twins are always the same gender, either two boys or two girls. Now, in the non-identical twins, it's actually, you have the regular ratio of boy and girl to the rest of the world, which is actually 51% to 49%, interesting enough. 51% male to 49%, let's 50-50 chance. 51% male to 49% female. That's the regular ratio, right? But which in turn comes out that the chances over there of having two boys or two girls is also a third. A third, a third. So basically, essentially, the numbers worked out that the chances of having the genders be the same in twins, all twins across the spectrum, is 66% of the time. Two-thirds of the time, they're the same gender. Two-thirds of the time, twins are the same gender. So that could be what the Gemara is saying. I think it's partial answer. The Gemara knows he can have a boy and a girl. The Gemara was saying, maybe I have a right. This classic idea of right. Maybe I have a right to assume the Gemara is giving a little more color to it. Why it would be that way, fine, you have a kasha on the aside. But the Gemara is assuming, maybe I have a right to assume that if one was a zacher that I know, the other one I don't know is also a zacher, and I could take on the dine tumah v'tahara of Leda, equal that they're, it's both based on the fact that they're both scherm, kamash b'lan, that we don't say that. Well, yes, one-third of twins are identical. Well, only one-third are identical. But the identical ones are all 100% of those, and then from the rest, and it comes out to a total of 66%. Adding in the identicals and the percentage of from the non-identicals are both males. This is the math that came out. What do you mean? You questioning? Okay, let's go back to Davar Acher. She'im teled nekeva lefei shkiyas hachama v'sanda chashiyas hachama. This is your Teretz Shmuel, that in case the nekeva was born before shkiyas hachama v'sanda lachashiyas hachama, so it's born two different days. Money tchilas nidl rishon tchilas nidl achron. So at the end, it's actually relevant not right away. It's relevant at the end of 80 days after the 14 years of tumah and the 66 days of tara. So you now have the 81st day is when she's able to become Taminid again. So we're not sure if the sandal was really a zacher or in a keva. If the sandal was in the keva, then you have that extra day of Tara past the 66 days of the first one. You get another day for the second one because it was born after Shkia. So then her Nimeinidas didn't start on the 81st day. It started from our count for the first one on the 82nd day, which is the 81st day for the second one. Right? So she's a Nida, not 7 days from the 81st day, 7 days from the 82nd day, so till the 88th at night, she's going to be a Nida. If the sandal was a Zachar, then this whole thing wouldn't be relevant. She would have to be a Nida from the 81st day, because the Yimei Tara are long gone. You don't know, so Masafik, you have to worry about both. But this is all relevant in a case where they're born over two separate days, which is really, that was to your point. When it's born over two separate days, that's where this din is going to be relevant. Okay. Sandal the Tanan, sandal that was taught, what?
I mean, Trump,
Rav often is a way to be naig in a Sefer Doraisa. Of course. Acharam Hatas. Acharam Hatas is a biblical concept, right?
Right.
So?
I'm saying Rav cases, they're identical, so therefore it would trump the Sefer Doraisa.
We'll go back down? Maybe. I mean, that's a Havmina. Anyway, we're not saying it, Lamaisa.
Yeah.
You saying you wonder if that was the Havmina? Those lines, let it be that one.
There's a fundamental issue, though, because whoever emits first determines the gender, whether it's one or two.
No, what is that issue?
Okay, sandal the Tanan. Let's leave off this. Maybe I shouldn't have brought it up. Sandal the Tanan, the sandal that we learned in the Mishnah in Becheres. Gab Becheres, top of Chof Amalav. Sandal the Tanan, Gab Becheres, the Mayachasa. So Becheres is dealing with a very, very basic din, like Kishmai. Who's a Bechar? So the halacha is that the firstborn is a Bechar, obviously for both for Yerusha and for a din of Pidyon HaBen, that the first coming one that comes out of the womb has to be redeemed. Now, let's say Nisha has a Nephil and then gives birth to a. Then gives birth to a firstborn afterwards, to a firstborn viable child afterwards. The halacha is that the second child, the second thing that came out of her body, is a bechar for Yerusha, because it's the first viable child, but it's not a bechar for Pidyon HaBen. Thank you. Why? Because it's not Petarechem. That's halacha. Fine. Says Gemara, so we learn Sandal Gai Bechari is Mayachas, what's Nafkmina? About the halacha of Sandal. Now, the obvious question is, what do you mean Nafkmina? If the Sandal came out first, we're saying afterwards it's not a Bechar for Petarechem. So Rashi explains the Havamina was, the Gemara is asking, Gemara assumes when it says in the Mishnah Bechari that when there's a Sandal, that which comes later is not a Bechar, doesn't mean the twin that comes with it. It means the birth that comes, Rashi's Lashon is, a year or two later, the next round of birth. So what's written in Gea? There's a twin that came with the sandal anyway, so for sure the next round's not going to be Bechor. The Gemara's answer is fairly obvious. We didn't mean in the mission over there in Bechoris that the sandal is eliminating the next year's birth, or 2 years from his birth. It means the twin is eliminated. It says the Gemara inside, it's relevant for the din that the child that comes after it in that very same Leda, the twin, is not going to be a din of Bechor, legabe Petarechem. It will still have a din of Bechor, legabe Pidgin Abed, legabe Nachla, but not legabe Petarechem, not legabe Five Shkolim. Sandal, the Ksiv, the Tran, gabe Krisus, the Mayachusa. The din of Sandal, which it says, by Krisus, legabe what it's talking about, the din of Krisus again is very simple, a din of bringing a carbon, legabe Tumas Leda. So over there it discusses the Mishnah on Dav Zion. Over there, Krisa says that the Isha who has a sandal, she has to bring a carbon. The Gemara is bothered again by a similar question. What's the chiddush? She has to bring a carbon. That's our din, our Mishnah. That, anyway, it's coming with, the question we had on our Mishnah, it's coming with a twin. If it's coming with a twin, so she has to bring a carbon laid out to the twin. It's clear from this din, from this Gemara's question, that apparently an Isha gives birth to one, or gives birth to many children, brings how many carbonas? One. She brings one pair of a chattas and a eilip, one pair of birds. Because if there'd be a different set for every child or every ejection from her body, so then she'd have to bring a separate one for the sandal. The Gemara's question clearly indicates that it's only one. Okay. Well, the Rebbe, the Gemara answers, Shem Telet Vlad Derech Dei from Sandal Derech Rechem. Nafkmina is, where again, we're Chafav Amin Aleph. We're about 5 lines down from the top of the page. Nafkmina is, if she gives birth to one Derech Rechem, so the more important, not one, she gives birth to the viable vlad came daifin through a cesarean, and the sandal is the only one that came through the rechem. The halacha is you only bring a carbon if she gave birth via the rechem. So if the sandal is the only one that came via the rechem, she wasn't chayav anyway for a carbon because of the viable child, because that child came out yaitz daifin derech cesarean. So the halacha that you chayav for a carbon by a sandal is very relevant. That she's chayav a carbon in that case, even though the only thing that came out from the rechem is a sandal. In fact, the Gemara, that's a machlekes that din. According to Bshimon, who says that when the vad comes out from the daifin, it's considered a vad malia. Michael and Amar, what are you going to say? According to Bshimon, you haven't answered the question. Amar Birmiya, a whole new answer. Wild answer. Shem teilat vlad b'yosef es chavim. So she was pregnant, Taka. Well, every time we're saying there's a sandal, that means there's twins, right? And one twin, Nebuch, crushed the other one. So the viable child, the one that's going to live, was born when she still was a guy. And she, I'm going to use the words, completed her gerus, because it didn't, just, I don't think it will happen on the spot at that moment. She completed her gerus in between that child being born and the sandal. She's only chayef to be a carbon for the sandal, theoretically. Why? Because the sandal is when she was already Jewish. The baby that was born before wouldn't be a chiyuv. So you ask me, what's the nafkamina that the sandal's chayav a carbon? She's chayav a carbon anyway for the other one, the same carbon. The answer is, she's not, because the other one, she was still a guy. The sandal achash and the skyra, the maisa carbon a sandal, the chiddush of the Mishnah increases is that she has to be a carbon for the sandal. Amru Rabbanu came to her papa. So Rabbanu said to her papa, the Rabbanu said that he's answered this explanation for their papa, and her papa was bothered by the following question. This jumps against what you took for granted before Shmuel, and you mechavim Timur's answer before, but her papa was bothered by this question. Are these answers really, do they make sense? They come out together. The sandal and the uber, the viable child that crushed it, they come out, kruchim, mamish, sounds like attached. Rashi says, dvukim, but like dvukim mamish, not mamish attached, but intertwined, they come out mamish intertwined. So the assumption right now is there is no discrepancy time-wise between the ladas. So how do these answers work about shkia before shkia, post shkia, before geirus, after geirus? How does it work if the ladies are instant, they're happening together at the same time? Essentially, it's very, very interesting. The Papa's going to really answer that it's not mamish instant. There is going to be a time where the ladies are separate. But he's going to answer within the context of having the bodies of the sandal and the viable child still being semi-connected. And still, there could be a break. Basically, part of the uber is going to come out and maybe go back in, or part's going to come out and stay out, but the other part's going to come out, and therefore it's going to be some sort of split. So he's going to stay within the same answers, but he's just going to tweak the case. Amar Papa, Shema Vina, Micha Karkle Vlad, Lasandal Apagi. Based on this conversation, our issues, and our Bechiris increases, and our response in our Gemara, and the fact that we know it's Kruchen, it must be the way it's Karkle is as follows. The Sandal is connected to the Uber that's going to live at the midpoint, which means the Uber that's going to live, his head really is at the waist area of the sandal, which is funny. It doesn't really have a proper waist; it was crushed. But where the waist would be by the sandal, and it causes the sandal to overlap over his head. So basically, if the head of the viable child is by the midsection of the sandal, so the sandal's where the head would be is above the head of the viable child. Simple, simple description. Okay. So therefore, look what happens. Gabi Bechiris, in the case of Bechiris, Kagan Shiatu Derech Roshem, they are coming out head first, which is the normal way. The Sandal Chadam Nafek, the head of the Sandal comes out first. That's that case. Gabi Krisus, and therefore we're saying since the head of the Sandal came out first, therefore it was the Petah Rechem, and therefore the other Vlad, the viable Vlad, will not have a din of Pidyon HaBen, and the Zadol doesn't have a din of Pidyon HaBen because it doesn't live 30 days, obviously, it doesn't live at all, and therefore there's no Pidyon HaBen at all, there's no Pidyon HaBen there. Bechor LeNachla will still be the child, because that's the viable child, because that's the one that lived. He's the first Bechor, and therefore he's gets Pishnayim, the Gabi Nachla. Fine. Gabi Krista Shevet Derech Nachla Seim, but the case of Krista, we're talking about where they came out feet first, it was breached, a breach delivery. To Vlad Kad Nafik, where who comes out first? The Vlad, their viable child, comes out first. And that's the case where we said, what was the ultimate Nafik community we said over there? The case was where she was Megayer in between. So the feet came out first of the viable child. Feet, or whatever it takes to be considered late, the rave of the body, whatever it takes, came out from the viable one first. She then, that one's born, while she still was a guy. She then finished the Gair, so she's still coming out to this idea that she's finishing the Gairs that are really interesting time in her life, but she then finished the Geiris, and then she gave birth to the son. Maybe the Tsar of Leda. Yeah, maybe the Tsar of Leda born into it, and then she gave birth, whatever birth, exactly. And then she gave birth to the, or she ejected from her body, the sandal, and therefore the Chiddush is that she's chayav a carbon for the sandal. Now that she's a Jewess, she's chayav a carbon for the sandal. Says the Gemara, Rav Huna bar Tachlifim Shmei de Rav Amar, Afi Tehem of Tzimtzimim, you don't have to make them to be separate, like separate locations, meaning like the head of the viable child against the chest or the mid area of the sandal. Make them align properly, side by side, same areas. However, flip your members from what you said the opposite way, and he's going to explain, and everything will still work out. And Rav Huna explains. Rav Huna b'Tachlifim Shei Rava. Gabi b'chayres sheyatzum derech margas galeseim. They're equally situated in the stomach, in the womb. But by Bechiris, the case is the coming out feet first, opposite. And therefore what? So but by the case of Bechiris, we're saying the sandal came out first. Why? Because Vlad de Tezchius is Serach V'lein Afik. The Vlad de Tezchius, the viable child who's a real live baby, who actually has life to it, is going to fight his way to stay in the stomach and not come out. So which will come out first? The sandal. The sandal will slip out first. Sandal less Bechiris, Serach V'lein Afik. The sandal which has no chius will slide out much easier to come out first. Gabi, but this is all specifically when they're coming out feet first. Gabi Krisis, where we discussed that the viable child came out first. The case is Shiatsu Derech Rasheim. They came out, they're coming out head first. And therefore, once the head comes out from a baby that's destined to live, once the head comes out, it's already born. Whereas the head of a sandal comes out, it's not born. So the both heads came out already. And then they went back in. But guess what? Which one was born? Only the viable child, the child that's going to live, is born, because a head of a viable child coming out, it's born. The sandal was not born yet. So therefore, sandal's not born until Rav comes out. And therefore, doesn't have to go back in. It could be they came out, all the heads at the same time. The viable child's already born. Sandal's not born yet until Rav comes out. And therefore, the viable child was born first, and the sandal was born later. And apparently the gairus again took place. The reason why I slipped in that it went back in, because that would make it much easier for the gairus. Right? They came out, the heads came out, the viable child's considered born, the sandal's not considered born, they went back in, still considered born, the one that was born, she did gairus then, and then they both came out completely. That would just make it easier to understand that case. You don't have to come out to your water birth. Okay. Zog the Mishnah. Shali b'vayis, we quoted this Mishnah earlier in the Masechta. If you have a shilya, that's an afterbirth, that's the placenta, that's the amniotic sac, as they describe it. If it was found in a house, the assumption is in every shalya, I mean, the Mishnah says pretty clear, there's a Vlad. There was at some point a Vlad. And therefore, if there's no viable, no child that's alive that we know of, then we can assume that there's a dead child in this placenta, which makes the whole house tame, tumas mace. Says the Mishnah, Shalya b'vayis, habayis tame, the house is tame. Lo yisha shalya v'lad, not because the shalya itself is the child, not because the shalya represents the child, and therefore it's a dead uber in the house. El shein shalya b'lay v'lad. If there's a shilya there, that means there was a vlad at some point. So the chiddush is, even if you, so really what happens, if you cut open the shilya, you should see pieces of vlad. Even if you cut it open and don't see, you know, we say what happens, it's disintegrated. But it was there. And we assume, here's the main point. We assume it was there when it came out already of her body, it was still there. Via pieces of this vlad, and therefore makes the house tamei meis. Says the Mishnah, a dissenting view. Rabbi Shimon Amar, no. Nimek avlad ashle yatsa. You being maskim that we're not finding the case, we're not finding an actual vlad in this sack. Because if you did, everyone agrees that's the tummy. The case where you cut up in the sack, you did not find the vlad. Says Rabbi Shimon, so who told you? Who gave you right to assume that at the moment it came out, it still was there and it's disintegrated afterwards? And by the time you found it, it was disintegrated. Let's assume it was disintegrated before, while it still was in the mother's stomach. It was already disintegrated while it was in the mother's stomach, and therefore. And therefore, it is going to be, therefore it's going to be tar, because halacha is that if the baby disintegrates in the mother's stomach, a baby, even if it's dead in the mother's stomach, is not tummy, and disintegrated, whenever time comes out, it will not give off to the bias. Tanarban. The shalya, the afterbirth, the placenta, it starts off with the beginning of it, should be, it shouldn't be chlasa really, I mean, it could be the beginning of it, but its beginning part is the chut of Erev. It's like the woof thread in the chassis of Erev, the woof thread, the thicker thread in the chassis of Erev. The point is, what we're referring to, by the way, referring to the umbilical cord. It's actually referencing the umbilical cord. The Seva Demela Kisurmis, and the end of it, which is the other part of it, when the umbilical cord connects to, which is the actual, the real, what most people view as the actual placenta, that is damaged to a lupin. A lupin is like a type of, what?
Is it a wolf?
No. They touch it's a type of flower, no? It's like a type of flower that a legume, it has legumes in it, this flower. It's a type of flower, I believe. Okay. So it has this shape. It's hollow like a trumpet. This again is the chur referring to which part is hollow like a trumpet. This the thread that we said before, which is the umbilical cord, is hollow. It's like a tube. It's a tube like a trumpet. Fine. And this is going to be the focus of the whole next element, and the rest of the daf really. And the afterbirth is never smaller than a tefach. Meaning, if it's smaller than a tefach, that means it's not an afterbirth with a vlad. If it's a tefach, then it's a real afterbirth. It's a real shilya. Ve'ein shilya pukas metafach. Rav Shimon ben Omer shilya dem lekurkavan. He just argues on what it looks like. He says no, it's dema lekurkavan shetanagelam, like the gizzard of a chicken shadak and yaitz menel, which has the intestines coming out of it. That is what the placenta looks like. Not so much like this turmis, like this lupin, but rather like the gizzard of a chicken. Okay, Tanya, I'm not sure which is bigger or smaller. Honestly, and I didn't see. Maybe I missed it in Rashi. I'm not sure which one is bigger. Which one of these two shiurim are bigger or smaller? Okay. Right, I would think the gizzard is smaller. It would seem like that, yeah. But it's certainly, yeah, the chayr wouldn't be a tefach, right? Yeah. It's definitely not a tefach, yeah. So that's your quick answer. Yeah, the chayr, that's the smallest year. Tanya, Rabesha de Zira de Mechavraya, Rabesha, who the younger Rabesha, who was from the Chavraim in the Beis Medrash, he taught the following braisa. Chamisha shirim tefach ve'elohein. This becomes a more of a shasugya. There's five cases where the shir that is given for them is a tefach. And these are them. Shalya, our Mishnah, Shafer, the shear of the size of a Shafer for Shafer blowing, Shidra, spine, what's that relevant? It's talking about the spine of a Lulav. A Lulav spine is the shear of the Tefach. We'll see, what does it mean a Tefach? It needs to be a Tefach bigger than the Hadas. Hadas needs to be 3 Tefachim. The Lulav needs to be 4 Tefachim. But what needs to be 4 Tefachim in the Lulav? This is a common mistake. Not the whole Lulav. It needs to be 4 Tefachim with a spine. The spine is like a dark green in the middle, in the back, and it really stops about 70% of the way up, and the rest is just leaves going up from it. It doesn't have that spine. So to the point where the spine ends, needs to be a tefach higher than the hadasim. It needs to be a tefach longer. It needs to be 4 tefachim. And by the way, that's only if the hadasim are mamish 3 tefachim at the bottom of the lulav. So then you're okay by having your lulav 4 tefachim, then you're okay, it's 4-3. But theoretically, if your hadasim are bigger, pashtas, most many mishanim say that you still need another tefach in the lulav above however high your hadasim are. So if your hadasim happen to be 4 tefachim, your lulav would have to be 5 tefachim. Okay. Unless you cut down the hadasim or put them below the level of the lulav. Fine. What's the 2 other dinim, daif and sukkah, the wall of the sukkah, that's the last wall of the sukkah. 2 and a bit is kosher. What's the bit? Tefach. And ezev, wherever you find ezev, ezev is found by the paraduma. When you burn the paraduma, you put ezev. When you sprinkle paraduma water, use an ezev. When you have a mitzairah, use ezev. Whenever Torah speaks about using the hyssop branch, it's got to be a tefach long. Now the mar means the source of all these things. Shalya hadamar and shalya is our mishnah, that the afterbirth is the shear of a tefach. That was the first shita in the price that we quoted, that the shalya, the placenta, has to be a tefach in size in order to have a status of a shalya. Shefer, the tanya, kam ye shir shefer. What is the shear of a shefer? Rapir shav shimming hamil, kadeh shir chazen biyadev yarenin lakan tefach. Lukan lukan, kama tefach. Very important kama. You have to be able to hold the shefer with your hand, you're holding with your 4 fingers, and you're right, you're holding like this, with your pinky through your index finger, your thumb's around the other side, but there's shefer sticking out of both sides of your hand, that is a tefach. Now why would that be a tefach? A tefach is normally 4 fingers. The answer is, we're going according to the opinion, the simple way to explain this is, a tefach is 4 thumbs. A thumb is much thicker than the other fingers. If you have 4 thumbs, for thickness for a tefach, then your other 4 fingers, together, are going to be shorter than the 4 thumbs, and therefore, what are you going to have? A little bit of shefer sticking out on each side. That is your shear of tefach. So, reading again inside, kadeh shechazenu biyad, they have to hold it with the hands, the yir lekan lekan, and see a little bit of shefer protruding from both sides of his hand, which is tefach. That's tefach, and that's the shear of shefer. That's the fifth item that was the second item that is the shear of tefach. So we spoke about shalya, that's our mishnah, shefer, shidra. The third item was a spine, mahi. We spoke this out. The amar. Rav Parnach Amar Biechanan, Shidre shalulav tzarech she yaser yaitzim in hadas tefach. The spine of the lulav has to go out from the hadas tefach. We spoke out the general shear is got to be a tefach bigger, but there's also another din that it's got to be a tefach bigger than however big you make your hadas. It's got to be a tefach higher. Deifin tzukah the tiny shayim kochasos shlishis afil tefach. You need at least two walls that are the proper width, and then the third wall could be even the size of a tefach. By the way, what's proper width? Basic chazara, 7 tefachim. A proper wall, right? The minimum share of a wall for a sukkah is 7 tefachim. So you need two walls that are 7 tefachim by 7 tefachim, and the third wall could be even 1 tefach, and that's sufficient. Fine. Ezav, what was the last in? Ezav, the Tanya Bchia, Ezav tefach. The share of Ezav is always a tefach. This is the minimum share of Ezav is a tefach. Amar, now notice that was the Tanya Bchia, that's going to be important for the next line. Amar Chinim Bar Papa, Darashila, Ish Kfar Tamarta, Shila from Kfar Tamarta, from the village of Tamarta, taught Tlas Mas Nisa, three of the dina of the five we just quoted are brises. Utarti Shmaitza, two of them, Shmaitzas are members from Amaram, that Shira Tefach. We have five things that are Shira Tefach, three of them are based on brises, two of them are Amaram. So one Amar we know is clear, the Amar of Parnach, Amar of Yechanan, about the Shedra of the Lulav, that the Lulav spine has got to be a Tefach higher than the Hadas, is a member from Yechanan. Rabbi Yechanan was an Amaira. That's pretty straightforward, that's simple. The problem is the other four are brises. So the only one that has a little bit of give is the last one. Who was the last one? Tani Reb Chiya. Reb Chiya was a Talmud of Rebbe. He was around the same time as Rav. We know Rav is the first Amira, but is known as the first Amira, but he's the Tanu Palik. He could be both. So it's Reb Chiya was around the same time. Says the Gemara, Tarti, it's two Amiraim. Chadi, it's only one Amira. Amra Baye, Ema Amra Reb Chiya, Ezev Tefach. Don't say Tani Reb Chiya. Don't say Tani Reb Chiya. Say Amr Reb Chiya. Reb Chiya said, if it's Tani Reb Chiya, it's not because it's din of a Braisa. If you say Amr Reb Chiya, it's din of an Amira, because he was on that crossover generation. Vesulek, affect the Mar now. This is going to be the focus of the rest of the daf. These types of questions. Are there no more cases of Tefach? Via Ikka. First of all, we have a case, a mission, Ayelos, the Paragimel, Mishan Zion. Tefach, a Tefach, Arum Tefach. When you have a space that's a Tefach, by a Tefach square, Arum Tefach. Halach is Meruba. When it's square, maybe it's a Tumah. Vachaitz Mea Tumah. It brings in Tumah, and it's Chaitz Mea Tumah. What does that mean? That means it brings in Tumas Ayel. If it's Tumah in the Ayel, it makes Tumah there. And if it also stops Tumah from traveling further, it won't go above the roof of the tent. So that's a din of Tumah, which is Talin and Tefach. Maybe it's Tumah Chesvei Tumah. Tefach Karmina, Tefach HaTefach Karmina. Remember, it's a simple distinction. We're talking about five dinim that are Tefach. This is Tefach square. Tefach al Tefach. That's not what we're talking about. And therefore you think it's even better. It's a double Tefach. Tefach Tefach. No, it's not the same thing. Therefore it's not included in our list. Next case. V'yeka Evnei Yetzim Natanar. What about the case of Evnei Yetzim Natanar Tefach Umina Kira Shalashat Bayis Chibur? The lach is when you have a Tanar. Tanar we know typically Tanar is something which just comes made out of earthenware. It's Tamei How in the airspace is Mekabal Tumah by being in the airspace. Not from touching the outside. But the lach is once it was Mekabal Tumah by being in the airspace, some sort of Tumah, it makes the whole Kli Tamei and it gives off Tumah. Even if you touch the outside, it will give off Tumah. Now there's, what if it has a protrusion sticking out of this outside? So it depends. If this protrusion is destined to stay there, it gives off Tumah because it's part of the Kli, part of the oven. If it's destined to be taken off, to be cleaned off, to be smoothed out, then it won't give off Tumah. What's the shear of a protrusion that's considered like a handle? It's still normal to stay, to leave it there as like a handle. So we're saying by a tanner, it's a tefach. And by a kira, it's three etzbayas instead of a tefach, which is four etzbayas. It's three etzbayas. Kira apparently is a little bit smaller. Fine. A kira by the chazara. A tanner is an oven which has one opening on top. Kira is an oven that has two openings on top. Fine. But the point is, a tanner, a tefach is considered a handle. A kira, three etzbayas is considered a handle. And therefore, they would give off tumah if the tanner is tumah from the outside. What do you see? You see another case of a shear of tefach. Says the Gemara, Kikar Min Hecha Debatz Metefach Leichazi. Avahacha Kolishkin Debatz Metefach Yad Tanerhu. Gemara says, Shmakachat. We were talking about things that need a minimum of a tefach. This, you're saying, is a maximum of a tefach. It will only give off tumah if it's a tefach or less. More than a tefach will not give off tumah. Everything else on our list, we're saying, needed to be a minimum of a tefach. So it's opposite criteria. So far, we've brought two questions down that we have other cases of tefach. Answer number one is that it can't be tefach squared. We're talking about plain tefachs. Answer number two is we're talking about tefach as a minimum, not tefach as a maximum. Va'ika. Affecting Martava Mez is another case. Tanuri Benais Tefach. Again, back to ovens. These are the ovens of young girls. What's the sheaf considered to be considered septal for tumah? It's a kli. A tefach. A tiny oven. It's a tefach. Why? Even though it's given for the girls to play with, they used to actually use it to make small cookies, small danishes. They used to use it sometimes. So it has a sheaf of kli. So now, look what the Braisa says about this. The Tanya Milton Braisa, Tanur, a standard Tanur, Tchas Arba. In order to be considered a Kli to be Mekabel Tumah, it's got to be four Tvachim high. If it's not high to four Tvachim or more, not Mekabel Tumah, Vishar of Arba. And furthermore, there's Rameir Shita, the Rameir. Further, Rameir says, let's say you have Allah, let's say you have an earthenware Kli that becomes Tumah. How do you get rid of the Tumah for earthenware Kli? Very good. Only way to do it is to break it. You got to break it. So let's say it broke. Now, when it breaks, it loses the status of Kli and therefore loses the Tumah. But what if after you broke it, it still could be used as an oven. Let's say you cracked it in half. It's still suitable to be an oven. So it depends. How big is it? If it's still four tvachim, it retains the shame kli and will not lose the tum. That's what Meir said. So basically, four tvachim is the shear of an oven divir amir. Fine. That's what Meir sheet of chamayimrim. Bebedvim amurim. When does this apply? Begadol. By a regular large oven, the minimum shear is four tvachim. For a normal oven, it's got to be four tvachim. Avakatan. If you're talking about specifically small ovens like we discussed for these young girls, tichilase kolshu, the minimum shear is kolshu, which we'll see in two lines, it means the tefach. Once it's a finished product, which by the way, Rameer also, everyone discussed it. Rameer said you need four tefachim. It means to be a finished product. Also, in the Kapatuma, fine, but for some reason the Chum is taking it in. Rameer didn't stick that in. It needs to, the Chum says, Kol Shu, it could be one tefach as long as it's a finished product. That's, I guess, maybe because you have to stress it because you may think he's not planning to stop at one tefach. But as long as it's a finished product, that's enough to give off tuma, to be Makabal tuma. Ushiyar Virubai. And even if it gets broken, even less than a full, as long as they have rave of the tefach, is enough to still have tuma. What do you see? The kamakol shu, sorry, we skipped the last step. The kamakol shu, amar b'anei, the shear is tefach, shekin eisin tanur b'nei tefach. The tanur b'nei, the tanur of the girls, is a tefach, and therefore the shear of the rabbanim for the small oven to be considered a kli, to be acceptable for tuma, is a tefach. We have another case of tefach. So the Gemara now asks, we have a third case of tefach that wasn't on your list. To flex the Gemara on this one as well, guess what? This case was clearly a machlekes, rabbanim or mayor. We wanted five cases that were, we only our criteria were five cases that are universal. But Pukta Lake of Myri, we're not getting involved in machlekes. And so far we have three qualifications to what can make the list. Hashas Lachi Merge says, now that you've given this answer, that we don't give out machlekes, Hanami Pukti. The case we left out before was also machlekes. Tani Seifa, Amar Yehuda, La Amr Tefach Elam Tanner VeLaKaisel. The second last case, the case we spoke about the Tanner, that if its protrusion is either a tefach or by a kira, if it's three fingers, it's enough. It gives off tuma. But if it's more than a tefach, it doesn't give off tuma. So we deflected that by saying we were talking about a shear that's a minimum of a tefach. That's a shear of a maximum of a tefach. Now we have another deflection. There's a machlekes there. There's a machlekes because the Rabbi Yehuda said, he argued and said that the shear of tefach is only when there's, it's tight between the oven and the wall, you're not going to let a protrusion more than the tefach because it's too tight in the space, and therefore more than that you'd shave down. But if it's the other way, what if the handle's going not where the oven meets the wall, to the other direction where there's plenty of space, even a protrusion bigger than the tefach, you'd leave as a handle. So we see there's a machlekes, how big the shear could be. And again, once you tell me machlekes like a mairi, that'll be another deflection why that case of earthenware oven, the first earthenware oven case, was not listed in our five. Fekti Mar, Vekam Maskeras Tefach, by the Shulchan in the Beis Hamikdash, there was a Maskeras around it, there was like a molding around the Shulchan, that was a Tefach high. Why is that not listed as a Shir Tefach? Answers Gemara, B'dich Sivan, sorry?
It's a different standard.
Very good. The Gemara didn't say that. Nice thought. B'dich Sivan, I'm not sure if all the other ones on the list also are different. I'm not sure. That's a good point. We did it right. In the Beis Hamikdash is something different, right? B'dich Sivan, Leikamari. Says the Gemara, that which is explicit in the pasuk, that which the pasuk discusses, we're not putting up as part of the list. I mean, it's true, you're right, it's case of tefach, but it's black and white in the Torah, it's not part of the list. In fact, the Gemara, Ve'ikah Kaparius, tefach. But this is not explicit. The cover for the Aron, the Kaparius, was how high? Thick. It was one amma thick, one tefach thick. So that Kaparius, the tefach thick, not explicit in the Torah, it should make the list. Says the Gemara, you're right, a new criteria. B'kachshon like Kamari, and obviously this last answer, we're going to answer the last question before as well, about the Shulchan. B'kachshon like Kamari, we're not talking about Kachshon. So far, if you want to count the list of qualifications for our exclusive list of Tefach, it can't be Kachshon, it can't be Farish in the Pasuk, it can't be a Machlekes, it can't be a minimum, maximum, sorry, it's got to be a minimum, and lastly, it can't be square, it's got to be a plain Tefach. Those are the five, I think it's five, criteria. Fekti Marva Ikka, this is the last Shiloh. Va'ika da'ila kaira shi rechava tefach. When you talk about the din of erevin, it's sufficient for the beam, the kaira beam that allows you to make an erev. It's got to be a tefach wide. You see the shear of tefach. Answers the Gemara. This is really shrieking it down now. B'drua bun le'kamari. All the dinim we discussed are biblical. This whole din of needing the kaira b'chlal by the mavi, the kaira that you need for a mavi is really only a rabbanan because it resembles a shesrabim. On a biblical level, you don't need it. It's not a shesrabim. You don't need it. Since it's a drabbanan, we're not talking about drabbanan. So what comes out? If it's beferish in the Torah, it's not included, and if it's drabbana, it's not included. It means dina tira that weren't beferish. The Gemara just speaks out the outcome. Our list only includes cases that are dina tira, but weren't written beferish. That's what our list is going to include. Yosef Yisrael Shmuel Bar Marsav Kamei Drav Kanav Yosef Kamar, and he said the following memra. I'm Rav Yidam Rav. Kol Shashiyamim. This is back to the dinim of ejecting from her body this shalya. Kol Shashiyamim. Rishenim Taylor as a shalya b'vlad. Let's say she gave birth to a baby. A regular baby. And then for 3 days afterwards, this shalya emerged. We attribute the shalya to the baby. We don't say there was a separate baby in the shalya. And we don't even know where the first afterbirth was. It's gone. But there's a separate one, and therefore it's a new clock for Tumas Leida. Rather, we attribute it back to the first birth that was within the past 3 days. But after 3 days, Chayshin Levar Acher, where Chayshin that there must be, potentially that must be, but it's possible it's a different child. And if it's a different child, it's a new clock for Dine Leida for Tumas Vatara. Amalei, so Rav Kana Hatzar Yitzchak, Umiyam Rav Hachid, Rav say this, Rav Rav, Rav said elsewhere, Eina Vlad Misakev, Acher, Chavei Reklum, the Vlad is not Misakev after his friend Klum. This fits back to our discussion earlier tonight, whether or not they, by the Sando and the Vlad, that they come out together at the same time. He said a klal, when there's twins being born, they're born together, they don't get delayed. I mean, it could be have a few seconds, a minute, but they're born together. And here you're being busy saying after 3 days and more than that, it wouldn't be possible. Ishtik, Shavitzik was quiet. He never responds. Amar Leif kind of said back to him, Dilma kam b'nefa kam ben kaima. Maybe that's what Rav meant, meaning when you're quoting a member of Rav, maybe the distinction is, it depends if the first, where the child was born was viable or not. Meaning, if the blood that was first born was non-viable, was a nafel, that's when we're saying you have up to 3 days for the shalya to be connected to it, and it came out later. But where it's a viable birth, the next one's coming out immediately with it. Amalei, Adam of the Shmaitz of Rav. So Yitzchak said, are you just hopping on your own the Shmaitz of Rav? B'feishem Ravachi, you taka right. I guess once he heard it, he remembered. Rav taka said explicitly, you nailed it. Hepila Nefel, Bacha, Hepila Shalya. If first came a Nefel, then came the Shalya. Kol Shosha Yavim, then you have 3 days. Taylor the Shalya Bavad. Where you tailor the Shalya Bavad that it came from that same Vlad, and therefore you will not trigger a new separate din of Tumah, a new separate din of Tumas Neida. But from then on, but where is that? That's talking specifically by an Eiffel. Yolda, but if it was a proper birth, a viable child, even if now and days, we're not cheshish for the existence of another child. It has to be that this Shalya, again, the Shalya came from this child, because it would, if it was another when you have a lady of a viable child, the other child, the twin, comes automatically with it. It wouldn't wait 10 days, and therefore this must just be the afterbirth that got stuck in the stomach. It didn't come later. Shmuel v'tamide derav. Sorry, let's just finish two more lines. Then you ask after the share. Shmuel v'tamide derav. Rav Yehuda haviyasve. Shmuel and the tamide of Rav and Rav Yehuda were sitting. So it's Shmuel, Rav Tamidim, and Rav Yehuda was actually Tamid of both Rav and Shmuel were sitting. Cholof Azor Rabbi Yosef Breda Rav Nashim Medvil Lapayah Baali Vasi. Rabbi Yosef, the son of Nashim Medvil, was passing in front of them at a quick pace. Amar. So one of them said, Aslan Gavr Darmin Lei Begila Umirme Umadri. Passing by us is a person who gets questions that are like small, like the wheat. Like wheat kernels or wheat stubble, and he gets stuck. He gets stumped by them. I'm not sure what they were trying to say. Maybe one of the explanations they want to give, the Mashal wants to bring, is the fact that he was walking so fast past a pack of Rabbanim was like not considered derech kavod. So they gave a little bit of like a dig. Amalei Shmuel Arach Yasa. In the meantime, Rav Yosef came over. Amalei Shmuel Mayamar Rav Bishalia. Shmuel said to him, what did Rav say about Ashilia? Amalei Hachem Rav. So he said to Shmuel, this is what Rav said. Ain't tell us Ashilia El B'Dav Shilia Kaima. You tailor the Shilia, the afterbirth, with the connected that it came from something which had some life. Shalim l'Shmuel l'chol tamid Rav, amir le'achi. Shmuel asked all tamid Rav, and he said, is this what Rav said? And they said, yes, Rav indeed said this memra. Now, Rabbi Yosef is coming to limit, Rabbi Yehuda already limited Rav's memra. Rabbi Yehuda said that up to 3 days afterwards, we assume that it came together with the Vlad, and we said it's tafka by a case where it was a nafel. Rabbi Yosef came and he's saying even further. He's saying it's only if it would be a full term baby that theoretically could have survived. It happens to be nafel only then. But if it's not a full term a baby that has potential for life machlal, then you wouldn't even give the 3 days. So Hadachaz Rav Yehuda Bishas. Shmuel was bothered that when Rabbi Yehuda said the memory initially, he didn't give the second criteria, the second qualification. What if a woman ejects from her body the shape of a raven and together with the shalya? So what's the shayla? The shayla is, do you say that shalya came with this, I shouldn't say together at the same time. Maybe it wasn't the same time. The point is, do you say that the shalya is from the ayriv and the ayriv is not a birth and the shalya is from the ayriv and therefore you don't have to worry about tumas leida? Or do you say the ayriv is the ayriv and the shalya could be from a separate vlad and there is a tumas leida from the shalya? Amalei, ain't telling el b'davish yesh b'mina shalya. He said, no. Since ravens don't have shalyas, and this woman ejected from her body that which looks like a raven, so you can't be tailor the shalya with this raven, and therefore you'd have to worry about the shalya of ain't shalya b'levad, and there would be tumah here. Ain't tailor el bedaver sheyesh b'minay shalya. Fine. Kshura b'mahu, what if it's connected, he said. Take it further. What if the shalya is connected to the raven? It's mamish connected. So maybe in that case you'd say, very fair to say that the shalya is not related to this raven. Amalei, Dover Shein Shalta. You're asking me a question on something which doesn't exist. Shkayach, a question doesn't exist. It's a nice shayla. If that were to happen, you're right. It would seem to be an indication, but it won't happen. Hagufa. He's saying it's not going to happen. You ask me a theoretical question, which based on our understanding, will never happen. We'll pick it up at the moment.